Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Wanderers, soldiers of fortune, thrown together by chance and bonded by mutual admiration, I, Steve Klarney, and my Afghan friend Yar Ali had wandered from India up through Turkestan and down through Persia. Driven by the restless urge of inherent wanderlust, our avowed purpose, which we swore to and sometimes even believed ourselves, was the accumulation of some vague and undiscovered treasure. Some pot of gold at the foot of some yet unborn rainbow. And so it was that we found ourselves stranded in the desert at sunset, under attack by Bedouin tribesmen.
Allah Akbar! God is great! By Allah Sahib! I have sent another of the dogs to hell!
Good work, old horse. Four left. Look, they're drawing off.
Aye, Sahib, they abandon the fray. Look at the sons of dogs run! They shoot like sons of dogs as well.
Those fellows ride as if they had some set purpose in mind. It's not a bit like men running from a licking.
Aye, they ride after more of their kind. They are hawks who give up their prey not easily. We should continue with all haste, Steve Sahib. They will come back, maybe in a few hours, maybe in a few days. It all depends on how far away lies the oasis of their tribe. But they will be back. We have guns and lives. They want both. And behold, my last bullet, Sahib.
I've got three left, and not much water either.
The raiders have already looted their own dead. Mounts, weapons, water.
Well, let's get going. It's a toss-up whether we die of thirst or get sniped off by the Desert Brothers. Anyway, we're doing no good here.
But see, Allah gives. The sun sinks westward. Soon the coolness of night will be upon us. Perhaps we shall find water yet, Sahib. Look, the terrain changes to the south.
Aye. A few miles distant beyond that barren expanse, there seem to be some low hills. Oh well. Heave ahead. We're food for the buzzards anyhow. It had been in Shiraz that we'd heard of the fire of Ashurbanipal. From a wizened Persian trader who recounted a tale from his far-distant youth. It concerned a dying Turk who had babbled a wild tale of a silent dead city of black stone set in the drifting sands far to the west, and of a flaming red gem clutched in the bony fingers of a skeleton perched upon an ancient throne. Dear God, it is beautiful. Here in the moonlight, the dunes like an ocean frozen in place.
You are deep in thought, Steve Sahib?
Just wondering how I was ever fool enough to believe such a cock and bull story.
But is it a cock and bull story? Legends of the city we seek are widespread throughout the region. The Arabs call it Beled el-Jinn, the city of devils. The Turks name it Karasher, the Black City.
I know. I've heard all the blather about how it's believed to be the eons-old city of evil, spoken of in the Necronomicon, of the mad Arab, Al-Hazred, the city of the dead on which a terrible curse rests.
Even among my own people, there are stories of it. A silent city of the djinn, deep in the hazes of a haunted desert. For such tales to be part of so many cultures, there must be some measure of truth behind them.
Maybe. But it doesn't look like we'll be the ones to find it, old horse. We were as mad as Alhazred to even attempt this. Two men, few provisions, and only the vaguest notion of where Karashur might be located.
Losing our camels and provisions in a blinding sand wind was ill fortune, but all things lay in the lap of Allah. And should he will it, we will find this lost city and live to tell the tale.
At this point, I'd choose a full canteen over a cursed city and a cursed jewel.
My people are from a dry clime, and I require little water. You are welcome to whatever I have left, Steve Sahib.
No. Both our canteens will be dry soon enough anyway. But thank you, my friend.
We are entering the hills.
Shallow gullies. Narrow ravines all around. All nearly filled with sand. Not likely we're gonna find water here.
This country was once Oasis country. Allah knows how many centuries ago the sand took it, as the sand has taken so many cities in Turkestan.
Aye. We rest when we reach the top of this rise. There's no water in this hellish country, and there's no use going on forever.
Yes, Steve Sahib.
My legs are as stiff as gun barrels. I couldn't take another step to save my neck. Look, there's a kind of stunted cliff, about as high as a man's shoulder, facing south. We'll sleep in the lee of it.
Shall we not keep watch?
No. If the Arabs cut our throats while we're asleep, so much the better. We're goners anyhow.
Something lies on the skyline to the south. A hill? I cannot tell, or even be sure that I see anything at all.
Nah, you're seeing mirages. Get some sleep. One drink left. What the... Hey, wake up, Ali. I reckon you weren't seeing things after all. There's your hill, and a queer-looking one, too.
By Allah, we have come into a land of djinn. That is no hill. It is a city of stone in the midst of the sands.
What? I'll be damned. It is a city. I can see it now, like a mirage growing from the drifting sands. Great, uneven walls, massive battlements. Karashur, Beled El Djinn, the city of the dead.
Allah protect us.
Winged bulls of Nineveh. The bulls with men's heads. By the saints, Ali. The old tales are true. The Assyrians did build this city. They must have come here when the Babylonians destroyed Assyria. Why, this scene's a dead ringer for pictures I've seen. Reconstructed scenes of old Nineveh. And look! That colossal, brooding edifice of solid black stones. It can only be one thing.
An abode of devils.
The Temple of Baal. Come on. I was afraid we'd find all the palaces and temples hidden by the sand and have to dig for the gem.
Little good will it do us. Here we die.
I reckon so. Let's take our last drink. At least we're safe from the Arabs. They'd never dare come here with their superstitions. We'll drink, and then we'll die, I reckon. But first, we'll find the jewel. When I pass out, I want to have it in my hand. Maybe a few centuries from now, some lucky son of a gun will find our skeletons and the gem. So, here's to him, whoever he is. Let's go. Just look at that temple's doorway, the polished wood of those mighty doors. It rotted away centuries ago, but the massive bronze frameworks still remain. And this great hall, the columns like the trunks of forest trees, the whole city is of awesome magnitude and sullen, breathtaking splendor, as if it was built by somber giants for the abode of dark gods. But how did this city ever come to be? How did the king, Ashurbanipal, and the fugitives from Assyria build this place? Babylonia lay between Assyria and this desert. Perhaps Karasher was built as an outpost border city before the fall of the Assyrian Empire, and the survivors fled here. As you say, Ali, this was once fertile land. It was watered by oases, but what caused its downfall?
Hello, Akbar!
Christ almighty! That altar, that hideous black stone altar. How many screaming victims were offered up to Baal on that?
Allah be merciful.
Let's keep moving. Through this door. Now, up these stairs. Ali, what is it? Ali!
We have dared much, Sahib. Is it wise to dare more?
You mean we shouldn't go up those stairs?
They have an evil look. To what chambers of silence and horror may they lead? When jinn haunt deserted buildings, they lurk in the upper chambers. At any moment, a demon may bite off our heads!
Well, we're dead men anyhow. But I tell you, you go on back through the hall and watch for the Arabs while I go upstairs.
No Bedouin comes here, so lead on, Sahib. Thou art mad after the manner of all Franks, but I would not leave thee to face the jinn alone.
We must be at an incredible height. And this gloom, it gets harder to see with each step.
We walk blind to our doom, Sahib. Allah il Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Nevertheless, I feel the presence of slumbering evil.
Wait. Did you see that? There's a doorway not far ahead, and the light coming from it, it's red. Do you know what that means? Hurry. God. The stories. It's all true. On that marble throne, a skeleton, and in its bony fingers, a great crimson gem, casting an uncanny light all about it. It can only be the fire of Ashurbanipal.
Aye.
And now it belongs to me.
Wait! A curse lie on ancient things, and surely this is a thing triply accursed. Else why has it lain here untouched in a land of thieves for so many centuries? It is not well to disturb the possessions of the dead.
Bosh! Superstitions. The Bedouins were scared by the tales that came down to them from their ancestors. They're desert dwellers. They mistrust cities anyway, and no doubt this one had an evil reputation in its lifetime. Nobody except Bedouins have seen this place before. Except for that Turk, who was probably half demented with suffering.
Then what of the skeleton?
These bones may be those of the king mentioned in the legend. The dry desert air preserves such things indefinitely, but I doubt it. It may be Assyrian, more likely Arab. Some beggar that got the gem and then died on that throne for some reason or other.
Look at it, Sahib. No such gem as this was ever cut by mortal hands. Look how it throbs and pulses like the heart of a cobra.
Aye, it does. At first I supposed it to be a giant ruby, but now... I can't even classify the style in which it was cut. And there's something about it, the power of its lurid radiance. It makes it difficult to look upon closely for any length of time.
We should not be here, Steve Sahib.
You may be right, old horse. There's something about this place, an unwholesome antiquity, and these heavy black walls, as if they hid... Let's just take the stone and go.
Wait! We are flies in the lair of the spider. Sahib, as Allah lives, it is more than the ghosts of old fears that lurk over this city of horror. I feel the presence of peril, as I have felt it before, as I felt it in a jungle cavern where a giant python lurked unseen in the darkness, as I felt it in the temple of Thagi, where the hidden stranglers of Shiva crouched to spring upon us, as I feel it now, but tenfold.
I've known you long enough to trust your gut. What is it, Yar Ali?
I know not, except that it is close to us, and that it is very ancient and very evil. I think... Hark, Sahib! Ghosts or dead men mount the stair!
By Judas, Ali, something's out there. Damn it! The Bedouins!
Die, you sons of dogs!
Look out, behind you! And another! Last bullet. Blast, Yar Ali, look out! Yar Ali!
Slay them not, but bind them hand and foot. Ah, the Sahib awakens. Do you not remember me?
I know you. By Judas, you... Nuruddin el-Makru.
I am honored. The Sahib remembers. And you also remember, no doubt, the occasion on which you made me a present of this scar along my jawline.
I remember. It was in Somaliland years ago. You were in the slave trade then. Some poor wretch escaped from you and took refuge with me. And you walked into my camp one night in your high-handed way. Started a row, and in the ensuing scrap you got a butcher knife across your face. I wish I'd cut your lousy throat.
You had your chance. Now the tables are turned.
I thought your stamping ground lay west, Yemen and the Somali country.
I quit the slave trade long ago. It was an outworn game. I led a band of thieves in Yemen for a time, till I was again forced to change my location. Then I came here with a few faithful followers, and by Allah, these wild men nearly slit my throat at first. But I overcame their suspicions. And now I lead more men than have followed me in years. They whom you fought off yesterday were my men, scouts I had sent out ahead. My oasis lies far to the west, and we have ridden for many days. For I was on my way to this very city when my scouts rode in and told me of two wanderers. I did not alter my course, for I had business first here in Belid el-Jinn. We rode into the city from the west and saw your tracks in the sand. We followed there, and you were blind buffalo who heard not our coming.
You wouldn't have caught us so easy. Only we thought no Bedouin would dare come into Karashur.
But I am no Bedouin. I have traveled far, seen many lands and many races, and I have read many books. I know that fear is smoke. That the dead are dead, and that jinn and ghosts and curses are not but mists that the wind blows away. It was because of the tales of the Red Stone that I came into this forsaken desert. but it has taken months to persuade my men to ride with me here. But I am here. And your presence is a delightful surprise. Doubtless you have guessed why I had you taken alive. I have more elaborate entertainment planned for you and that Afghan swine. Now I will take the fire of Ashurbanipal.
Hold, my lord! We have followed you here against our judgment, because you have proven yourself a strong man, and have said you hold a charm against all evil beings. You said you but wish to look on this mysterious gem, but now we see it is your intention to take it for yourself. Do not offend the jinn!
The curse is laid on infidels who invade the city, not on the faithful.
The curse is more ancient than Muhammad, and recks not of race or creed. Evil men reared this black city in the dawn of the beginnings of days. They oppressed our ancestors of the black tents and warred among themselves. Aye, the black walls of this foul city were stained with blood, and echoed to the shouts of unholy revel and the whispers of dark intrigues. Thus came the stone to the city. There dwelt a magician at the court of Ashurbanipal, and the black wisdom of ages was not denied to him. To gain honor and power for himself, he dared the horrors of a nameless vast cavern in a dark, untraveled land, and from those fiend-haunted depths he brought that blazing gem, which is carved of the frozen flames of hell. By reason of his fearful power in black magic, he put a spell on the demon which guarded the ancient gem, and so stole away the stone while the demon slept in the cavern, unknowing. So this magician, Zoltan by name, dwelt in the court of the Sultan Ashurbanipal, and did magic and forecast events by scanning the lurid depths of the stone, into which no eyes but his could look unblended. And men called the stone the Fire of Ashurbanipal, in honor of the king. But evil came upon the kingdom, and men cried out that it was the curse of the jinn, and the Sultan, in great fear, bade Zoltan take the gem and cast it into the cavern from which he had taken it, lest ill befall them. Yet it was not the magician's will to give up the gem, wherein he read strange secrets of pre-Adamite days, and he fled to the rebel city of Karasher, where soon civil war broke out, and men strove with one another to possess the gem. Then the king, who ruled the city, coveting the stone, seized the magician and put him to death by torture. As Zoltan died, he cursed the stone whose magic had not saved him, and he shrieked aloud the fearful words which undid the spell he had put upon the demon in the cavern, and set the monster free, and with his dying breath pronounced doom on the false king, that he should sit on his throne, holding in his hand the fire of Ashurbanipal until the thunder of judgment day. Thereat the great stone cried out as a living thing cries, and the king and his soldiers saw a black cloud spinning up from the floor. Out of the cloud came a grisly shape, which stretched forth fearsome paws and laid them on the king, who shriveled and died at their touch. And the soldiers fled screaming, and all the people of the city ran forth wailing into the desert. Karasher lay silent and deserted, the haunt of the lizard and the jackal. And when some of the desert people ventured into the city, they found the king dead on his throne, clutching the blazing gem. But they dared not lay hand upon it, for they knew the demon lurked near, to guard it through all the ages, as he lurks near, even as we stand here.
I am master here. I have not sweat and bled for this gem to be balked at the last by groundless fears. Stand back, all. Let any man cross me at the peril of his head.
The gem is burning a deeper, darker red. It's angry and menacing. What the devil? The damn gem just jumped right out of his hand and bounced over to the far wall.
Steve Sahib, look! The wall opens!
An immense tentacle! It seized Nuruddin!
Allah's name, Sahib. Do not look. No matter what, do not look. Steve Sahib! Steve Sahib!
Ali.
Lie still, Sahib. A little shifting of my body and I can reach thy cords with my teeth. Now, release my bindings.
Where are the Bedouins?
Allah, Sahib, are you mad? Have you forgotten? Let us go quickly before the djinn returns.
It was just a nightmare. Look, the jewel, it's back on the throne. The head of Nuruddin el-Makru, severed at the foot of the throne. And those tracks in the dust. Vast, shapeless tracks, taloned and gigantic. Oh, my God! It happened. And the thing I saw...
Enough, Steve Sahib! We must go! In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, our luck has turned. Look, the horses of the men we killed, with canteens and food pouches at the saddle horns. Those dogs fled without halting for the steeds of their comrades.
We'll lead the spare mounts.
You said, Sahib, you said something about seeing... What saw ye, in Allah's name?
You didn't look. When the thing put back the jewel in the skeleton's hand and left Nuruddin's head on the dais?
By Allah, not I. My eyes were closed as if they had been welded together by the molten irons of Satan.
I looked. I wish I hadn't. For I know I'll dream about that for the rest of my life. I had only a glance. I couldn't describe it as a man describes an earthly thing, but God help me, it wasn't earthly. Or sane, either. Mankind isn't the first owner of the earth. There were beings here before his coming, and now survivals of hideously ancient epochs. Maybe... spheres of alien dimensions press unseen on this material universe today. Sorcerers have called up sleeping devils before now and controlled them with magic. It's not unreasonable to suppose an Assyrian magician could invoke an elemental demon out of the earth to avenge him and guard something that must have come out of hell in the first place. I'll try to tell you what I glimpsed, but then we'll never speak of it again. It was gigantic. Black and shadowy. It was a hulking monstrosity that walked upright like a man, but it was like a toad, too. And it was winged and tentacled. I saw only its back. If I'd seen the front of it, its face, I'd have undoubtedly lost my mind. The old Arab was right. God help us, it was the monster that Sultan called up out of the dark, blind caverns of the earth to guard the fire of Ashurbanipal.
So ends The Fire of Ashurbanipal by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions. Tonight's drama was adapted for radio by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes from the short story by Robert E. Howard. Christopher Duva was Steve Clarney. Steve Moulton was Yar Ali. Rocky Serda was Nureddin El Mekru. And Damon Krall was the Bedouin chief. I'm Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in suspense.